let us pray.
Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this wonderful morning, Sunday morning, to be again celebrating your resurrection day, how you were crucified, buried, and resurrected on the Sunday morning. And also it reminds us, Lord, we too have been crucified, buried, and resurrected with you to live in the newness of life and for a life of worship, to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to you, which is our spiritual act of worship. So this morning, Lord, we want to come as a living sacrifice to bring our spirit, soul, and body, to offer our lives to you, to worship you, not only just to sing praise, give offering, or even to listen to the word of God, but that our lives will reflect worship to you, Lord. So we commit this time to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay, please be seated. I am thankful, finally. I like to say that my facial pain has passed. So last week I said that, and in the middle of my message, the pain came back, and so I preached crying. So the scripture says, sow in tears, reap with joy. You know, I'm beginning to learn, preach in tears. And I don't know what day is that. Our loan that we received from the government, $24,000, has been forgiven. So it's reporting was made so easy, actually. 4 or 5 questions and then send it back. And a few days later, they said, your loan has been forgiven. So $24,000 has been given by the government during the coronavirus to support the center. So even the government, American government, contributed to our center. So we should be thankful to God for that. And we should be thankful to God, at least for a government that supports freedom of religion. Amen? So we don't want to knock the government all the time. You know, there's some good there, some good. And another thing that I'm thanking God for ahead of time is in-person school is about to start. I'm getting a lot of people are getting a little excited on campus. Oh, people are coming, actually coming after a couple of years, they're coming. And I'm excited to get back to the normal kind of on-site ministry. So we get to meet on campus starting week after next. I think we're going to meet on campus either Wednesday or Thursday. And that's where we will also broadcast for UCLA too. So we'll do our normal Wednesday night on campus. Another thing I'm thankful to God ahead of time is some of our students and people who've been away are coming back in a week or two, some next week, some week after that. I was just talking to Bozzy recently, and he's excited to come back. And everybody misses him playing basketball and soccer. But he's a great guy. We're going to set him up to lead praise as well. You know, I told him before, I didn't know if he play guitar, but suddenly he plays pretty good guitar. And Ed said he knows how to play beats that Ed has a hard time playing. So that must be that must mean that he's okay. So anyway, we're looking forward to helping him grow in praise leading as well. And he donated, by the way, the drum set, you know, the electronic drum set he donated. So I need to give credit where credit is deserved. Okay, anyway, so we pray, right? Yes, okay, we can go forward. So onward with the message for today. And past 2 weeks, I focused on character, did I? Second Peter, talking about how God has given us divine power for everything pertaining to life and godliness, to escape the corruption in the world due to evil desires. He gave us the power, through the knowledge of God and the promises of God. And last week I talked about the beatitude, how beatitude is a character or is a attitude of being. And it's not simply like the Old Testament law, but Jesus was teaching all the kingdom messages, not just to live it like the Old Testament law, but this is the way of the kingdom, the lifestyle of the kingdom, but to be lived out empowered by the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit. So it's not, the teachings of Jesus is not separate from the Holy Spirit. So we are able to live out Christ's commands, not without the Spirit, but with the Spirit. And so with the Spirit, we could live out the attitude of being, which is also character, you know? And so, but today, as I was reflecting on, I was reading through Genesis again, because I recently saw a movie, what is it? Noah, you know, Noah. So I wanted to check whether the movie and the scripture was accurate. And, you know, some parts are dramatized, but it's okay. And so, but I kept on going and I came to Abraham's story, which is the establishment of the Abrahamic covenant. And then I realized, you know, we've been talking about with Pastor John speaking about the Big Dipper illustration. You know, he spoke about being a pace setter, right? And the world vision, and then the wheel and the hand, and then what is it? Evangelism, and then follow up. How it's important to bring in to the kingdom of God, to the church, through evangelism and discipling or follow up. And so, so it's a pretty huge thing, soul saving and following up people. And I did a training yesterday to say, evangelism actually is the easier act of love. Soul saving, evangelizing, preaching the gospel, as much as people are afraid of it and they think it's kind of difficult, but that's the easier part. Get rejected, you know, preach the gospel, souls come to Christ. That sometimes that it seems like hard, but that's the easier part. But the real act of love is after people come to Christ, helping them step along the way regularly for months, for years, as much as necessary to establish this person in Christ and as a mature disciple of Jesus Christ, so that they too will be able to reproduce themselves to be a disciple maker. So we've been talking about this, soul saving and evangelizing, and why in our ministry that this is a pretty high value. Sometimes people think ICA is all about evangelism and it's kind of narrow. Actually, that if you say that, it's saying like Jesus came to seek and save the lost. All of his gospel message is about seeking and saving the lost. If you say evangelism is kind of narrow, just to say Jesus is narrow. So that's God forbid. Soul saving into the kingdom of God is a pretty huge thing, pretty main thing. And not only to bring them into the kingdom, but to follow them up so they can live the life of the kingdom until we go to the Father, go to heaven. And there's some lot of work to do. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers of you. And even the very last will and testament of Christ's great commission is go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus didn't say, go make physical babies. Well, actually in Genesis, he said multiply. So, you know, go live a blessed physical life. Go have a great career. Go have a great weekend you know, outings. He didn't say all these things. Enjoy life. Get the most out of life. That's not what Jesus said. Those who save their lives will lose it. Those who lose their lives will save it. And go make disciples. So this is a pretty huge thing. Of course, the blessings of life follows. Other blessings of life is, you know, just God's blessing. Therefore, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you as well. So he wants us to seek his kingdom, his righteousness. Experience all the blessings, how God will take care of you. So anyway, that's the reason why I thought, I think I need to kind of revisit this, because I spoke on it before. Genesis chapter 12, 17 is the Abrahamic covenant. It's an Abraham story of how he was called to leave his home and go to the land of Canaan, which he knew nothing about. God promised him, I will bless you and make you a blessing. And so this Abrahamic covenant somehow is the beginning of the promise of coming of the Messiah, the Savior. And how this blessing promised to Abraham through the Messiah, we are to inherit the blessing and the promise. So actually, in order to talk about Genesis 17, we need to start with Galatians, because Galatians is a New Testament connection to the Old Testament. New Testament connection to the Old Testament. So if you look at Genesis, Galatians chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3, Paul rebukes the Galatians about how the Galatians started by faith. They were justified by faith, but they're trying to live out their life by the law. So he's rebuking them. In verse 6, chapter 3, verse 6, Paul reminds the Galatians, even so Abraham believed God and was reckoned to him as righteousness. It wasn't by the law. It was not by doing many, many things that he was considered righteous. No, but Abraham believed God. It was by his faith he was considered righteous. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. Oh, it speaks of how we can be. Galatians are, you know, Gentiles. There's a connection here, how through faith, like Abraham, receive righteousness and justification. Through faith, we can also be Abraham's descendant, sons of Abraham. The scripture foreseeing, verse 8, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Who are we? Are you guys naturally Jews? No, not even Grant. He's white, but, you know, a little bit, he says. He is a little bit of Jewish blood in him. So, but it says here, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, us by faith, he preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. Amazing. The gospel of Jesus Christ was already preached to Abraham, foreseeing that all the Gentiles, other nations, will be saved through faith as well. So the gospel is embedded in Abraham's story. Gospel of Jesus Christ is embedded in Abraham's story. It says, all nations will be blessed in you. All nations will be blessed in you is the gospel. All nation is who? The Gentiles. blessed salvation in you, you, and you, your seed. Jesus Christ, the seed, is through which all nations will be blessed. So the gospel of Jesus Christ was already preached to Abraham, and anybody who believed in the promise, who believed in God and the promise, you know, they're considered justified and righteous. So then verse 9 says, then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. Who are we? We're believers. Well, our father Abraham is believer too. Abraham, the believer, he believed in God and his promise. It's the faith Abraham had made him justified, I mean, forgiven of all his sin and considered righteous. Just like Abraham, what we need to do is have faith or believe in Christ to be justified and forgiven. And then we receive the blessing of Abraham. Let's continue some chapter 3, verse 14. Let's all read that together. Chapter 3, verse 14. Ready? It said, go. Oh my goodness, even more clear. In order that Christ Jesus, in order that in Christ Jesus, blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentile us. In Christ Jesus, the blessings of Abraham might come to us, Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Through faith, we receive the Holy Spirit. The blessing of Abraham that is promised to Abraham. So when it says all nations will be blessed in Abraham, it's in the seed of Abraham, it's Christ. It's through faith we're considered righteous. It's through faith we are considered righteous. It's through faith also the Holy Spirit is promised to in the gospel that was preached to Abraham. Here it says that we would receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Even the Holy Spirit was promised in the gospel. And by faith, we are justified like Abraham, but we receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's look at verse 29 of chapter 3, the last verse. Read that together. Ready? Ready, you said go. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. If you belong to Christ, if you believe in Christ, if you put your faith in Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants. You're considered one of those descendants of Abraham who are blessed, heirs according to the promise. We become heirs. Through Jesus Christ, we become not only Abraham's descendants, his blessing we inherit. According to the promise. What promise is that? Where is the promise? Genesis 17. But actually, the first promise was not in Jeremiah. Genesis 12 is where it starts. Genesis 12 is where this promise. We become Abraham's children. We become Abraham's children. Heirs according to the promise given to Abraham. We become part of that. We become heirs of all the promise made to Abraham. So here's the promise that starts in chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who will curse you. And in all the families, and in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So here's a promise. Here's a promise. By this time, he's already righteous because he believed in God. But here's a promise. Promise has two parts. Your part and God's part. Salvation is unilateral, but a promise is bilateral. We have to do our part, and God will do his part. What's our part? For Abraham, he was in the land of Haran. They already started in the land of Ur, Iraq is. And his family moved to Haran, where Jordan is, I think. Is it Jordan? Yeah, somewhere up there. And his father, Terah, was an idol maker. Interesting. Abraham's father was an idol maker. He kind of knew God, but then he was a syncretistic, pluralistic God worshiper. And his business was making idols. It's surprising, but it's in the scripture. And no wonder God saw Abraham's heart. He selected Abraham just like he selected David. And he wanted to move him away from home to a place somewhere he didn't know. So it was a huge command. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. Then I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. Make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. In you. The greatest in you is Christ in you. Through his seed, one seed in among his descendants, all the families of the earth will be blessed, including Abraham. So this is the first expression of the promise that we inherit from Abraham, because we believe in Jesus Christ. Because we believe in Jesus Christ, we are Abraham's offsprings. We are kind of grafted in there. We're not the natural offspring, but we are grafted in there through faith in Jesus Christ. We become Abraham's offspring, and also we inherited the promise. This is the promise that Galatians is talking about. Then it's further expressed in chapter 17. That's the passage we read. The promise further expressed is when, at the age of 99, God came to Abram and Sarah and reiterated his promise, saying that by this time next year, you will have a son. You will have a son. But before that, he reiterates his promise to Abraham. I am God Almighty. I am God Almighty. Do you know that I created the universe, the heavens and the earth? And you, I'm God Almighty, sovereign Lord. Walk before me and be blameless. Here's the condition. Walk before me, be blameless. You believe in me, so you are considered righteous. But now, in order to inherit this blessing of promise, you need to walk before me and be blameless. I will bless, I will establish my covenant with you between me and you. The covenant God is making is if you walk before me and be blameless. I will multiply you exceedingly. God's promise to Abraham is if you walk with me and be blameless, then I'm going to multiply you. Now, this is a promise to Abraham, which we inherited. So what is God saying to you, Juan? Are you Abraham's children, child? Through Christ, yes. So what's an heir is according to the promise. What's the promise? The promise is if you walk before me, Juan, and you are blameless, I will establish my covenant between God and you. You know, because the covenant is with Abraham and his descendants. He made a covenant with you. I will multiply you exceedingly. Do you believe that? God said, Juan, I'm going to multiply you exceedingly, make nations out of you. If you sit down and do nothing. No, that's not it. You know, you can't be sitting down and doing nothing. Abraham was called to leave home. Go to this place you didn't know. God instructed him, commanded him. Walking with him is to follow him according to his command. You're looking to look for a job. You're looking to choose a job now. What is God saying to you? Which job should you take? Now, this is walking with God. You need to hear God's voice and abide in his will. God's saying to take this teaching job or look forward to more lucrative, you know, engineering job, which is pretty cool too. But the point is, what I like or not, what other people says you like or not, what I hope to plan for the future or not is not important. What does God say? What is God's command for you? When you walk with God and be blameless, then he's saying he's going to multiply you. Make your spiritual life, you know, multiply. Actually, the multiply is both physical multiplication and spiritual multiplication. You're going to get married, have kids, and you're going to multiply. You know, Ed's multiplied 3 times already. 3 kids. And his children are going to multiply. So there's a physical blessing in this promise, but it's a physical blessing with God-fearing children. Spiritual multiplication is involved here. If you sit down and do nothing, no. If you obey God, you walk with God, and you are blameless. Abraham fell on his face, verse 3, and God talked to him saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, Abraham, and you will be a father of the multitude of nations. No longer your name shall be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. I have made you the father of multitude of nations. So God made a covenant with Abraham, again, to bless him, make him make him multitude of nations. You know, multitude of nations will come out of him. Verse 6 says, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. He's just continually, you know, clarifying what God will do through Abraham. I'll make you exceedingly fruitful. If you are Abraham's children through faith in Jesus Christ, you were meant to be fruitful and multiply. The same thing as physically. When you are of age, can you physically multiply? Can you have a baby? Maybe not guys, but girls, right? But you're able to procreate. That's just, is that for only some people? No, it's most everyone, except, you know, a few cases of some kind of disability. But it's natural everybody procreate. But spiritually, this is also true. If you are Abraham's children, and in Christ, we become Abraham's offsprings. We were meant to spiritually multiply. That's given. So if a Christian in Christ are not fruitful, Christians are not fruitful nor multiply, then that is not normal. That means they're not healthy. Something is not right. So why do Pastor Min always talk about fruitfulness? Fruitfulness is not because I want more people. It shows healthiness. A person who's fruitful and who multiplies is showing spiritual health. So I'm trying to help people to be fruitful, not to have more people. I'm not into numbers. I'm into quality, actually. If you guys haven't figured out that. I don't mind having few people. I don't mind, but I do mind having a lot of people who are unhealthy. So, you know, our size of church is totally fine with me. You know, but if I do have increase in number of people, I would like to have healthy people. Spiritually healthy people who are fruitful and who will multiply. That shows the healthy normality of a believer. So Abrahamic covenant, Abrahamic promise was given to Abraham, but look at verse 6. It says, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. Verse 7 says, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant. Isn't that right? This covenant was not only with Abraham, but I will make this covenant with you, Abraham, but not only with you, but with your descendants for everlasting generations. That means, I don't know, physically, Abraham, from the time that he was here on earth before he died, to now, how many physical generations could have happened? I don't know. Maybe, I don't think as much as 100, but let's say 100. But that's the physical generation. But God is really looking for those who are of faith who would be the descendants of Abraham. So now, come Jesus, through Jesus Christ, we're grafted in as Abraham's sons. So now the covenant is in his descendants and including us. So this covenant was not only to the physical generation of Abraham from that time on, but now grafted in Christ, sons of Abraham, us. It's a covenant with us too. We are heirs of according to his promise. So that covenant, the promise, is for us too. That's what Galatians connects us to. Through in Christ, we become sons of Abraham, heirs according to the promise. This covenant is given to us that God is saying to you and me, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. Nations will come out of you. I will multiply you exceedingly. If you're a Christian, you put your faith in Christ, you became Abraham's offspring, now heirs to the promise, you are meant to be fruitful. You are meant to multiply spiritually at the least. Oh, definitely physically, he's going to bless your family. I believe God's going to bless Ed and Becky's family because Ed believed in Christ. Becky believed in Christ. The children are being born and they're being raised in faith. I trust that the children will be blessed with faith and they'll be in Christ as well. But they're physical well-being, spiritual, emotional, physical well-being is also an object of blessing. Their children are blessed. And their children, as long as they, there's a condition, right? As long as they walk with God in obedience and live blamelessly. To the degree you are walking in obedience to God and being blameless, this promise of God is going to multiply you, make you exceedingly fruitful is going to be fulfilled in your life. And through one seed, that's Jesus Christ. the greatest descendant of his descendants is Christ. And Galatians says that. Galatians, let's go back to Galatians briefly. Okay, Juan, can you read 3:16?
Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He is not saved and to seeds as referring to many, but rather to one. And to your seed, that is Christ.
It's translated your descendants. In Genesis, but it could be translated as singular or plural. It could be taken as both. God is referring to descendants. The covenant is made with the descendants, but through the greatest of one descendant, seed, as Christ. That's what Galatians is referring to. The word descendants can be translated as descendant, seed, singular. So there's a condition. There's a condition that we need to, through Jesus Christ, despite faith in God, Abraham was considered righteous, justified. It's faith in Jesus Christ we are considered justified and made righteous. And then the promise is given. The first requirement is we need to have true faith in Christ. You need to be truly born again. You can't just be hanging around with Christians and come from a Christian background and say, I'm a Christian. But you really need to have genuine faith in Christ to become part of Abraham's descendant. So born again, being born again is crucial to be fruitful and multiply. If you're not born again, you can't expect yourself to be fruitful and multiply. This is the first requirement. You need to be genuinely born again, declare your faith that I believe in Christ. He died for me. He resurrected for me. I believe he's coming back. So through faith, Abraham was made righteous. Through faith in Christ, we are also descendants of Abraham. But not only faith in God, faith in Christ. 17, you know, chapter 17 says, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. Now thereafter you are in Christ. You are sons of Abraham. Our part is we need to walk in obedience. Not just like be casually, oh, I feel like doing this. I don't feel like doing that. I feel like doing this. I don't want that. I want this. If it's a life of that's led by your own feelings or your sentiment or your even desires, what your hope for the future, what you want in the future, that's the ruling force in your life. That's not walking with God. Can't expect being fruitful and multiplying. We're not perfect. We can't have too much of that. You know, Abraham was not perfect, but one thing he did was he definitely left his home. There's some major obedience. So there's a little sins. You know, he went down to Egypt. He lied about Sarah. You know, Oh wow, he sinned against, I mean, he didn't wait for Sarah's child, but he had a child with, who was the servant girl? Hagar, and had Ishmael. He had some life sins, but when God said, I want you to leave home and go where I want you to go, there's a major, major call because he obeyed. You know, he went to the land of Canaan where God wanted him to be. And it was Oak of Moriah when he landed, came into Haran. He was at Oka Morai, this is a tree where God spoke to him. When he disobeyed, he went away from that, but he came back to Oka Morai. Wherever the place God spoke to him, he came back. This is one of my blessings this week, meditating on this. He sinned, went away, trusting his own thought, went to Egypt, lied, but then he was brought back. He came back to Oka Morai. He did something another time. He went down to Negev. He lied again. And then he came back to Oka Morai. Later when Sarah died, he buried her near the Oka Morai. Somehow, not only did he obey, leaving Haran to go to the strange land, trusting God, a major obedience. And then when he went to Canaan, God spoke to him in Oka Morai, near the tree. He should have stayed there, but he kept on, doing his own thing. Each time he did his own thing, he kind of caused some havoc in other country. Egyptian king had a plague because, he lied about Sarah. And Egyptian king took her as a wife. When there's disobedience, you don't bring blessing, you bring havoc. But he came back to where God spoke to. Went back to Canaan. Went out, came back to Canaan. He went out, came back to Canaan. So you need to reflect. Where did God speak to you? What is your Oka Morai? Where does God want you to be? Where did God speak to you where you need to go and obey? You need to return to the place where God spoke to you. So the condition is, walk with me and be blameless. I will multiply you and exceedingly make you fruitful. That's the promise. The condition is, walk before me and be blameless. Let me give one more example. Is Hagar. Sarah lost faith, or she doubted. She said, well, the son is not coming after 11. It's been 11 years since God promised, but I don't have a son. Maybe God did not mean for me to have a son. My servant girl, Hagar, husband. Abram, go ahead and sleep with my servant girl. Maybe God wants you to have a child through her, and I'll just consider him my child. And so Abraham listened to the voice of Sarah, which means a disobedient for Abraham. And Abraham had a child with Hagar, and his name is Ishmael. After Hagar had a child with Ishmael, then Hagar got little confident. I have my master's son. Start like disregarding Sarah. She doesn't have a son. I have a son. She started to undermine her and just ignore her. And then Sarah complained to Abraham, look what she is doing. She's disregarding me because she has a son. And then Abram said, well, she's under your authority. Do as you wish. And so Sarah started treating her bad. And so because of her bad treatment, Hagar, didn't want to stay there. She ran away. And God met her, crying. Well, what are you doing? My mistress is treating me badly. And then God said, you will have a child. At that time, she didn't have a child, I guess. She was pregnant. And you will have a child, and this child of yours will be like a wild goat. You know, everybody will be against it. You know, this kind of not so good prophecy. But your child will grow up and will also multiply. But I want you to go back and submit under your mistress Sarah's authority. So for Hagar, she ran away from her mistress because she was being badly treated. But then it's her fault too, because she started to like get proud and, you know, I got my master's child in my stomach, and she just got a little cocky. And she ran away, but God said, you have a son. You'll multiply as well. But you need to go back to be under your mistress' authority. It's interesting how God wanted her to not. But first he says, where are you from and where are you going? It's interesting how God asks when people just kind of leave things and say, where are you from? Where are you coming from and where are you going? I'm from my mistress' house, home. She doesn't know where she's going. Well, God didn't tell her to go anywhere. So God is saying, you need to go back under her authority. And sure enough, if she went under her authority, and from Hagar came 12 princes of Arabians, you know, so the Arabs became, they also multiply. And Hagar, at the least, knew God. She called her God who sees her plight, her situation. So even for Hagar, when she obeyed and went back to be under her mistress's authority, she was blessed. Now, how does this connect with our New Testament again? Says here that we will multiply exceedingly and we will be exceedingly fruitful when we walk with him and be blameless. But come New Testament, Jesus says, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. He came to die for us, establish the new covenant. Jesus, the seed, accomplished the work of atonement so that anyone who believes in Christ will also be justified and become righteous. So it's through Jesus, everybody becomes justified and righteous. But now what? After you are in Christ, Jesus doesn't want you to sit around. Okay, I'm saved. Let me just enjoy life. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus never said, okay, I want you to go get yourself a career, have a plan, you know, go to this school, go to that school. I want you to get married, you know, have a great family life. You know, there's many exciting things in life, go enjoy it all. After you are in Christ, that is not what Jesus is promoting. He had the whole life is for us, and we will enjoy it as we go. But then, he finishes ministry saying, go and make disciples of all nations. You are in Christ now. How about the next person? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. You are in Christ. You're made righteous and you're justified not to just enjoy your life. You want to be fruitful and multiply. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. You are saved, but there's so many people who are lost. This is a pretty high concern in the heart of Christ. Jesus' compassion for the lost is pretty high. Jesus' concern was not the next best car that's around so he could kind of enjoy it. Jesus' concern was not next best career that I want to pursue, or how can I get married and have a great life. It's not wrong to enjoy some of those things. They're definitely not wrong. But that's not the focus. That's not the focus of Christ. You being in Christ, God will bless your family. God will give you a job. God will give you a career. But that's not the focus of Christ. His focus is other souls who are not saved. They're headed for eternal hell. Where are they going? They're headed for eternal hell. Jesus' concern was to seek and save the lost so that they could come into the kingdom and be eternally secure. That's why he said, go make disciples of all nations. Believers and followers of Jesus Christ. Believers and followers of Jesus Christ. This is a pretty huge, high command. We call it great, Jesus's great commandment. Great commandment. Oh, a great commandment actually is to love God. So this is called Great Commission. Jesus commissioned his disciples, all of us, to go make disciples of all nations. Now, if you call saving souls and making disciples and following people up as being narrow, that's saying Jesus' great commission is narrow. Abrahamic covenant of how God wants to multiply you and make you fruitful, that's being healthy and normal. Sometimes I think when people are not healthy, they're not fruitful, they want to undermine this. Making disciples is not that important. Evangelism is too narrow. If you're not fruitful, you need to get healthy and take on this commission, great commission, as Christ's high commission. And pursue healthiness so that we can multiply and be fruitful by walking with him and being blameless, hopefully truly born again first. You need to get healthy, not undermine his call to be fruitful and multiply. To go preach the gospel, evangelize, follow up, make disciples so that others may be saved. They may walk a disciple's walk, disciple's life, to be walking with God and be blameless. So they could live a disciple's life. But when you seek God's kingdom and his righteousness first as a disciple of Christ, he is going to add all these things unto you. Yes, there's many things in life that you need. God is going to take care of you. You don't have to focus on those things. You just focus on walking with God, being blameless. Go make disciples of all nations. Even all nations are concerned to go to the nations. Why is ICA so, even in our worship, we pray for other nations? Because that's Jesus' concern. I want to make sure our vision is in the right place. Not only making soul saving here and making disciples here in Los Angeles, but our vision is all the way to the ends of the earth. To this, I've been called. Your pastor has been called to be a disciple and make disciple ever since I was in college. And I've been making disciples since college. I've been saving souls since college. I like to think I haven't quit along the way. I still haven't quit. God forbid that I would quit. I want to finish strong. As God gives me strength to my last breath, I want to declare Christ. Be a soul saver. Be a disciple maker. This is not narrow. This is one of the highest calling Christ commands his disciples. Don't minimize Christ's high calling. Don't make excuses. There's so many other things we need to do. No, there's nothing more important than soul saving, inviting other people to come into the kingdom and be living the life of a disciple. Being blessed and being a blessing to other people. Being a blessing to other people. There's so many ways to bless other people. But the greatest way to bless other people is to lead them to Christ. Usher them to be a disciple of Christ. Train them and equip them to be a disciple maker. This is one of the greatest, greatest high callings. Never minimize this. Never be guilty of minimizing what Christ calls as a very high calling. This is where our ministry comes from. And to this end, we want to walk with him, so we have the wheel illustration. Witnessing is part of the spoke, but we talk about lordship. We need to make Jesus Lord. We need to have a relationship with God through prayer and the word. That's pretty high value in our ministry. Fellowship, Christ-centered fellowship, not natural fellowship. Not hanging out, not just having, you know, barbecues and enjoying. By the way, you know, we enjoy barbecues, but it's because we are in Christ, you know. We enjoy fellowshipping in Christ. And then comes evangelism, witnessing. But you know what the bigger thing is? Evangelism is part of the obedience, which is pretty high calling. Obedient Christian life, the wheel. Obedient wheel, you know? Spirit-filled life. Obedience to Christ is broad. Obedience to Christ. But among that, evangelism and soul saving and making disciples pretty high. Among the obedience, that's pretty high up there among the obedience. Okay, let's see. Is soul saving more important or cleaning up the church more important? Okay, is soul saving more important or organizing a barbecue? Okay. Is like playing guitar important or, you know, soul saving? Okay. You know what I'm getting at. There's some good things, and loving things are important. Loving people is important. And we should do those things too, of course. We're not neglecting those things. But soul saving and making disciple followers of Christ. Years of loving people. Not easy. But it's pretty high calling. Following up people. Discipling people. Anyway, I just want to reiterate this promise of Abraham is continually being expressed through Jesus Christ for the church as well, for the believers. This is the promise that we need to hope to be fulfilled in our life. We need to hope to walk with God and be blameless. That is something we do together in the church. But we need to experience being exceedingly fruitful and our lives multiplying. Each one of you is a potential of multiplying, you know, into many spiritual generations. If you're not fruitful and you're not multiplying, I would say you're not healthy. I'm saying this pretty straightforward. I don't want fruitfulness to make our size great, but I'm looking for fruitfulness to see if you're healthy. Believers who are walking with God, abiding in Jesus Christ, right? That's John chapter 15. If you remain in me, my words remain in you. You know, ask whatever you use, but if you remain in me, you will bear fruit, much fruit, more fruit. If you're a healthy branch, you are meant to be fruitful, multiply. Simple as that. And I hope that every member of our church become healthy believers and followers of Christ and express healthy fruitfulness, healthy multiplication. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this morning. Your word, reminder of the Abrahamic covenant, and Lord God, how it's by faith in God and his promises that Abraham was justified, considered a man who was righteous. It's by faith in Jesus Christ, we became Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. And the promise is, if we walk before you and we are blameless, you will make us exceedingly fruitful and cause us to multiply for nations to come out of us. And this is the potential of every one believer, if we are healthy, Lord. God, would you grow us to be a healthy branch attached to the vine who grows and bears much fruit, more fruit, and lasting fruit. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.